Part 1, November 1803 to February 1805. Hetty Handful Grimke. There was a time in Africa the people could fly. Mama told me this one night when I was 10 years old. She said, "Handful, your granny mama saw it for herself. She said they flew over trees and clouds. She said they flew like blackbirds. When we came here, we left that magic behind." My mama was shrewd. She didn't get any reading and writing like me. Everything she knew came from living on the scarce side of mercy. She looked at my face, how it flowed with sorrow and doubt, and she said, "You don't believe me? Where you think these shoulder blades of yours come from, girl?" Those skinny bones stuck out from my back like nubs. She patted them and said, "This all what left of your wings. They nothing but these flat bones now, but one day you gonna get them back." I was shrewd like mama. Even at 10, I knew this story about people flying was pure malarkey. We weren't some special people who lost our magic. We were slave people, and we weren't going anywhere. It was later I saw what she meant. We could fly all right, but it wasn't any magic to it. The day life turned into nothing this world could fix, I was in the workyard boiling slave bedding, stoking fire under the wash pot, my eyes burning from specks of lye soap catching on the wind. The morning was a cold one. The sun looked like a little white button stitched tight to the sky. For summers, we wore homespun cotton dresses over our drawers. But when the Charleston winter showed up like some lazy girl in November or January, we got into our sacks. These thick-set coats made of heavy yarns. Just an old sack with sleeves. Mine was a cast-off and trailed to my ankles. I couldn't say how many unwashed bodies had worn it before me, but they had all kindly left their scents on it. Already that morning, Mrs. had taken her cane stick to me once across my backside for falling asleep during her devotions. Every day, all us slaves, everyone but Rosetta, who was old and demented, jammed in the dining room before breakfast to fight off sleep while Mrs. taught us short Bible verses like Jesus wept and prayed out loud about God's favorite subject, obedience. If you nodded off, you got whacked right in the middle of "God said this and God said that." I was full of sass to Aunt Sister about the whole miserable business. I'd say, "Let this cup pass from me," spouting one of Mrs. verses. I'd say, "Jesus wept because he's trapped in there with Mrs. like us." Aunt Sister was the cook. She'd been with Mrs. since Mrs. was a girl. And next to Tomfrey, the butler, she ran the whole show. She was the only one who could tell Mrs. what to do without getting smacked by the cane. Mama said, "Watch your tongue." But I never did. Aunt Sister popped me backward 3 times a day. I was a handful. That's not how I got my name, though. Handful was my basket name. The master and missus, they did all the proper naming, but a mama would look on her baby, laid in its basket, and a name would come to her. Something about what her baby looked like, what day of the week it was, what the weather was doing, or just how the world seemed on that day. My mama's basket name was Summer, but her proper name was Charlotte. She had a brother whose basket name was Hard Time. People think I make that up, but it's true as it can be. If you got a basket name, you at least had something from your mama. Master Grimke named me Hetty. But mama looked at me on the day I came into the world, how I was born too soon, and she called me Handful. That day, while I helped our aunt sister in the yard, mama was in the house, working on a gold sateen dress for Mrs. with a bustle on the back, what's called a Watteau gown. She was the best seamstress in Charleston and worked her fingers stiff with the needle. You never saw such finery as my mama could whip up, and she didn't use a stamping pattern. She hated a book pattern. She picked out the silks and velvets her own self at the market and made everything the Grimkes had, window curtains, quilted petticoats, looped panniers, buckskin pants, and these done-up jockey outfits for race week. I can tell you this much. White people live.